Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Fan Hotline presented by Nemacolin. Around every corner, Nemacolin creates real-life magic for guests. Steelers, a five-point favorite against the Seahawks. They're healthy. Seattle now, the latest. Chris Carson, their starting running back, is also a scratch. News coming out of Seattle in the last few minutes. Jim Colony was at Steelers headquarters. The big question there, and Jim will provide an answer because he's getting older and he doesn't care anymore. He's going to do what he wants when he wants. Juju Smith-Schuster needs to be put on the injured reserve. That means a player can come off the injured reserve for Sunday's game. So who will it be, Jim?
Well, if I had to guess, I would say, well, just logic dictates that since he's been designated for return, Zach Banner's been there longer than, I think he was a week earlier than McFarland, who also has been practicing, but I would think Zach Banner.
You think that means an expanded commitment to the run? A lot of 72 is reporting eligible, and Banner goes in there, and they just go, wham, pow!
Why not just Banner at right tackle?
Because Chooks played really well last week.
Well, a blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then, Mulsey.
Yeah, I know. Mike Tomlin spoke cryptically about that whole situation. And since my prediction last Friday at this time was so right on that Joe Haig was going to start, I'm not going to start making predictions again. But I'll use the same words I used last week. I would be shocked if they changed the starting lineup. Now, if Banner were activated and then were used as the nipple rubber, as we like to say, as that tackle eligible, then that would make some sense. But I'm trying to think of who else. You know, they could bring somebody up off the practice squad, but they also get to designate two guys at some point by tomorrow afternoon. They can bring two guys off the practice squad. So I don't know. I also wouldn't be surprised if they didn't make a move at all, but it seems like it would be foolish if there's a move available to not make it, even if for nothing else, just in case.
Is McFarland someone that will eat into Najee Harris's workload?
No, I wouldn't think so. I would think if and when he's active, and I don't think that's going to be until after the bye week.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever he is activated to the regular roster, if he cuts into anybody's playing time, I would think it would be Ray McCloud as both a returner and as the quote-unquote gadget guy. McCloud's situation is interesting because the Juju injury, I don't want to say that it saves him, you know, from being the odd man out, and by it kind of elevates him on the receiver depth chart. But, you know, what we've seen, although he did drop a pass, but if people saw Cody White in training camp, he doesn't drop passes. That was really an anomaly to see him drop a pass, even though, you know, it's an NFL game. He hasn't played a whole lot of those, I think just two or three. Cody White may be ahead of Ray McCloud on the receiver depth chart. And then, you know, they also brought in Anthony Miller, who has NFL experience. So, you know, that might make McCloud's position a little more precarious. You know, if anybody, and I don't know, if you want to take your pick, and I think Bolaj would be the running back casualty in that scenario, because I think as much as people love to not love him, Benny Snell, I believe, is still considered the number two back behind Najee.
Jim, did you ever get your son's pad or Chris any kind of a Christmas gift or something, and they played with it like too much and you knew they were going to break it and you tried to avoid that, but they eventually did, like not long after you bought it? Was there any kind of recent purchase toy casualty?
I don't remember.
Something like maybe that had to have happened, right? They were just playing with a toy. You had just gotten it. They were so excited. They loved it. It was everything you hoped to be, and then it broke. I'm bringing that up because if draft picks were shiny new toys, Najee Harris was the shiniest, newest one, and I am just waiting for it to break like a like an action figure or something that a kid doesn't stop playing with.
I don't know. We've been here before. I mean, how often? And I'm one of the people that does it, where you compare, you know, with the size and the skill set and everything else, except for the, you know, hesitation until the hole opens up part of his game. That Najee Harris is very reminiscent of Le'Veon Bell, except he's a little bit bigger, actually. And Le'Veon Bell, eventually, you know, the wheels did fall off to some degree, but I don't think Harris is in danger of doing that. I think, you know, last game, what did he get? 23 carries, and I can't remember how many receptions he had, maybe three or four. So basically you're talking somewhere between 25 and 30 touches a game, and I don't think that's outrageous. I really don't. That might be just the right mix for him.
Jim, we saw there was some trepidation. Are Claypool and Washington going to be good? They're still, you know, yesterday they were both limited. I see that they're full today. So that seemed like all systems go there. Nothing to worry about, not even on the injury report. Those guys didn't even look slowed. They looked as good as you're allowed to tell us.
Chris, I can't tell you what they look like, but I can tell you that FP is beside their name on the injury report, so they practiced fully. And I was let me put it this way: I was
Claypool looked tall. Washington looked a little shorter. One wore number 11, the other presumably wore number 13, something like that.
Yeah, something along the short guy had 13 and 11. That's a good number for a taller guy, you know, a lengthier guy. So yeah, they were out there in the white uniforms and they looked good.
Jim, I said tackle eligible with Banner, and then Pony just immediately hijacked it and said he wanted to put him in there for Chooks potentially. Would you like to see them go back to some of those heavier sets, sort of like for like almost the symbolism of, hey, we're going to commit a little bit more to trying to run the ball and take stuff off of Ben's plate and put him in maybe more advantageous positions in down and distance?
Yeah, but not with Banner. I would do it with Zach Gentry, and we've seen him the last 2 weeks catch, you know, double digit gains, both obviously for first downs, and you know, 13 yarder last week. There was a little bit of yak after the catch, you know, there was a little bit of yak there. But he was talking about it today. There's a story about it on the web.
93.7
the fan.com. There's a little bit of deception there where they're used to him blocking out of certain sets. And he said basically he was able to kind of shove the defender out of the way because he thought he was just pass blocking. And then he slipped out for an easy pitch and catch and a nice 13-yard gain. So, you know, that's what I'd rather do. I would advocate three tight end sets in some instances, although I don't know if they're going to go that far because Ben would have to sign off on that, and I'm not so sure that he would. And if it was, you know, two tight ends, then I guess that would inject Banner or Joe Haig or whomever.
Jim, speaking of tight ends,
tackle eligible.
Speaking of tight ends, Pat Freiermuth has played 5 games in the NFL. He's been targeted 13 times. What gives there? I feel like good things would happen if they throw him the ball more. Why is that guy not seeing more action?
Chris, that's a good question. A lot of us have that question, and I know it's an oversimplification, but you know, when Claypool didn't play, I thought, well, Freiermuth and Claypool they're about the same size. You know, Claypool's probably faster by a good degree, but nonetheless, you know, he could play that, and I still think Claypool would be great in the slot, although they seem to – well, they downplayed it so much this week in the media, both Tomlin and I think Ben and then Matt Canada. You know, they They kind of shrugged it off and saying like, well, you know, yeah, that's an option. But, you know, if they shrug it off like that, it makes it seem like, you know, maybe they're more apt to do it. You know, they just don't want to tip their hand if that's what they have in mind. But, you know, Freiermuth, and I've always thought tight ends, I wrote about this week too, that tight ends in the slot, to me, with guys like Freiermuth and Ebron, provided he catches the ball, those are great mismatch opportunities, and I'd like to see the Steelers take advantage of that.
Headlines are brought to you by our good friends at Dollar Bank. Get low home equity loan rates at Dollar Bank. Visit dollar.bank, equal housing lender. The morning show, did you guys pick Pitt, Virginia Tech today?
Yeah, we did. I heard you guys. Yeah, you guys know we did. You just talked about it when I was driving here.
Okay. Does that make you weary?
We all picked Pitt, which I know Kreger's probably, well, now he doesn't even have to run down to Rivers. He can just pick up his phone.
But as a man that used to do Pitt post games,
Panther Hotline,
how does it make you feel when every expert in town seems to think that Pitt is going to get it done, Jim?
Well, Andrew, back when I was doing those Panther Hotline shows, Pitt wasn't picked to win too many games, and they didn't.
What, the Temple game most years, and that was about it?
Temple. Yeah, Temple.
Rutgers.
B.A. might have been the coach of some of those Temple teams, if I recall. But at any rate, I understand, and I thought, and maybe you did, because I had to turn the car off when you were talking to Dorn and teasing him with the playoff thing and saying how, you know, like, and I thought you guys were going to fire back. That's the best chance that Pitt's had it at a big college bowl game since, you know, they lost to Cincinnati, which I know
we already
remembered.
Yeah, we already did that a couple
we
of weeks
ago. We crushed him with Tony Pike
well.
As a surprise guest, and I think he was a little stung.
And Marty Gilliard wasn't available. You know, so I don't know. The reason I picked Pitt, this will make Pitt fans shudder, is that I've been wrong on Pitt pretty much all year, including picking, you know, New Hampshire to cover the spread just because I kind of had to. I've been wrong with Pitt, but the Georgia Tech game, that did get my attention. And Kenny Pickett's play has gotten my attention. We knew Addison was good. You know, Pickett looks—he looks a lot better. There's a nice supporting cast there. I kind of wish the one thing I wish Pitt would do, and you know, you talk about running Najee Harris into the ground. I'd like to see them pick a running back and really kind of go with that guy instead of shuttling guys in and out.
Now, do you have a son who roots for Virginia Tech in this game, or because his dad got paid for Pitt, does he root for Pitt? How's that work?
Well, his dad doesn't get paid for doing anything Pitt related anymore.
But he's on the flagship home of Pitt sports.
No, but I
and he used to do Pitt basketball play-by-play.
Right. Yes, in the balance sheet with you know, how much I made from Pitt and how much I paid to Virginia Tech. There was a lot more money out going out to Blacksburg than there was coming into my bank account.
What's a hokey, Jim?
Chris roots for Virginia Tech. What are you supposed to do?
Well, Chris went to Penn State and roots for Pitt.
Correct.
Well, yeah, but Chris didn't. If our Chris had grown up here as a and you know, he did a lot of growing up here, but he didn't really root for Pitt one way or another. He was not a Pitt fan. Now that I think about it, yeah, he did move here in second grade, but he didn't. He wasn't a Pitt fan, so that's not ingrained into him. So I understand where Chris Muller is coming from here, because yeah, you root for a team as a kid, you want to stick with that loyalty. You know, he could have gone to Pitt, that might have made things a little bit easier. But no, Chris, our Chris roots for Virginia Tech.
Don't,
he should.
Don't dodge the question, Jim. What is a Hokie?
I don't know. It's in there. It's in the media guide. Look it up. It's just kind of, now they used to be called, okay, this is when, Steph Curry's dad played basketball for them. They were also called the Gobblers.
Yes, which I like better.
You know, so some, yeah, I mean, you know, some derivation of obviously to do with turkeys, I'm guessing.
I hear hokey. I think of some sort of like weird bobcat out that way.
Really?
I gotta be honest. Yeah, it does not call to mind a crappy looking bird.
Yeah, it's like a bird. If you guys have ever been to Blacksburg, which is a delightful town, by the way, they have these, or at least they did the last time I was there, which was quite a while ago, these kind of, you know, decorative painted up hokey birds that are statues all over town and on campus and so forth. So it's some hokey bird. I don't know. You can look it up. I mean, it's and then while you're at it, since it's kind of alphabetically, you may as well go just move ahead to what's a Hoya, if people care.
Well, that's clearly a bulldog that wears a spiked collar.
Yes, of course. Of course, we all know that. Yeah.
Hey, Craig, what good are you, Craig? You always say you Google everything. You could have Googled what is a Hokie by now and helped us out, but instead you're trying to figure out where Madagascar is in relation to Madrid.
And Peru. He also had to consult a map to figure out where that country was located. All right, Jim, we'll check you out on 93.7thefan.com.
Okay. Bye, guys.
See ya.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.